Well, we've been through three books now where we saw how God kicked us out of paradise because we disobeyed, and how he started from scratch after we crashed and burned a couple times under Noah. And then Abraham, he got a family together, took the rest of the book to unify the family and to solve the kinds of problems, Cain and Abel, that we had created for ourselves back in the days of Adam. In Shemot, God began to make good on his ancient promise to Abraham to give him a nation and to give him leadership and to dwell in the heart of the nation so he would be our God. And he delivered us from Egypt and gave us a tabernacle, instructions to build it. We followed his instructions exactly and built the tabernacle. We're still sitting under Sinai for the entire book of Leviticus as he begins to give us instruction on how we're to act in the tabernacle. And he gives us a priestly instruction and tells us he's raising us up to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Well, we still haven't left Sinai as the book of Bamidbar opens.
וידבר אדוני אל משה במטבח סיני באוהל מועד באחד לחודש השני בשנה השנית לצאתם מארץ מצרים לאמור.
And spoke the Lord to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, on day one of the month, the second, in the year, the second, of their going out from the land of Egypt, saying.
So we're Rosh Chodesh Iyar. We don't know we're counting the Omer because we haven't started doing that yet. That's because we're in the wilderness. We're not in the promised land yet. And it's the old guard, the old generation, the fathers, the Rishonim, the first generation that's out there. And what does God tell us to do? He tells us to reorganize the camp. We're going to become a national house. Instead of being a bunch of households in a nation, we're going to become the national house of God. God tells us then to number the army, Bamidbar, in the wilderness, and to arrange the tents in the camp. Then the Levites, he's going to call closer still. They're going to be in the inner circle. They're going to ring the tabernacle and police for holiness, because the center of the nation is sort of like the heart. And the heart, you don't allow a lot of infection in there. It's not too good for the organism. In like manner, the heart of the nation is a holy space inhabited by the manifest God of Israel.
וידבר אדוני אל משה לאמור, נשוא את ראש בני גרשון גם הם לבית אבותם למשפחותם.
And spoke the Lord to Moses saying, elevate the heads of the sons of Gershon, also them, by the house of their fathers, by their families.
Once we've reorganized the camp to have the military on the outside and the priests on the inside, the priests are going to be elevated further for special tasks. Moshe is told, Naso, elevate Levites, assign special jobs, and show Aaron how to bless the people. Each leader brings gifts then to dedicate the altar so that all the tribes have given the exact same gift. Not one tribe has given more or less than another, even though some tribes are more numerous and other tribes less numerous. And these tribes then bring exactly the same holy, very expensive, ornate materials, implements that are going to be used in the tabernacle. Above the mercy seat, then, God speaks. And Moshe is going to be in there to hear. So even as at Sinai, where you had the people thronging the mountain, now you have Adonai Tzvaot, the army, thronging the tabernacle. And even as you had the priests up the mountain, now you have the priests on the guarding the boundary lines to approaching tabernacle. And as the mountain was holy, now the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, the place where God meets with the people, is holy ground. And at this point, Naso, we're raising up special people for special jobs. There are three sons of Aaron that are going to, three Levite clans that get the jobs. And Merari gets one job to dismantle and... Gershon. Gershon's the firstborn. He's going to get the job to dismantle and put back together the camp. Merari is the transport crew. And from the previous portion, where it said Naso, you had, but it wasn't named the portion, it was in Bamidbar, the Kohathites, the Kahad himself, his clan, was not to gaze on the holy objects, but to put them in the cloths that wrapped them after Aaron had covered them, so that they wouldn't be gazing on holy objects.
וידבר אדוני אל משה לאמור, דבר אל אהרון ומחת אליו, והעלותך את הנרות אל מול פני המנורה, יאירו שבעת הנרות.
And spoke the Lord to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron, and you will say to him, In your making, go up the lamps toward the area at the face of the menorah. Will give light the seven lamps.
Now, I want to give you an idea of some of the power of the words. Say Baha'alotecha.
Baha'alotecha.
Now, see, you're all geniuses. Any person that wasn't in this group would have gone and stumbled. Because this is one of the longest portion names in the Torah. And when you translate it literally, it's in your causing to go up and in your causing to ascend. Take a look at the spiritual dynamic that takes place in your causing to ascend. Some of the uses of this word in the Torah. The Levites are caused to ascend the lamps here. What they're going to do is get ready for night, and they're going to light the seven branches of the menorah, and it's going to shine in the holy place, and when it shines in the holy place, it's going to light up the whole camp from inside the tabernacle, inside the holy place, and it's going to be a light shining through the night all night. Mm-hmm. Now, that's Israel being a light to the nations, because even though the nations are all over the world, face it, it's going to be known that there's a light, mm-hmm. and that this light burns through the night. Now, they're doing this in the sensory dimension, in the world of sensory experience. But the intuitive concept is the same. We're to be a light to the nations. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. The light is what's going to crowd out the darkness and is going to set up the beginning of God's reign on earth. It's God who dwells in the light, and it's we who are being taught to dwell in the light. Now, we know our deeds are darkness, and we know we hide in darkness. We got secrets. We got all kinds of things that if they get out, we're ashamed. We don't want them to get out, so we hide and cover up. And that's why men love the darkness. But what are we being told? Be honest. Be transparent. Be open with one another. And confess your sins to one another so you can move through them. Because when you hide your sins, what does it do? It keeps you from moving and flowing in life. And that keeps you from being where God is going. It keeps you hung up. Now look at the uses of these. The Levites cause to ascend the lamps, and they become a light in the darkness. That's Numbers 8:2. That's the Rishon, the first verse of Baha'alotecha. The Lord causes to ascend his people from Egypt to the promised land. That's 1 Samuel 8:8. So we're being brought out of slavery and going from Paro, big house, bondage to the empire, bondage to big house, bondage to the nation. And where are we going from there? To the land that God will show us. To the land that God will make his name to dwell. To the Holy of Holies. To the holy place where God will establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. To the place where God dwells in the light. And what are the priests being told? Dwell in the light all through the night. Because we not only tend the light, we light the lamps, and we tend them all night while we dwell in the light. We're being taught. God caused to ascend Eliyahu in a whirlwind, 2 Kings 2:1. Eliyahu is a person who never died. Eliyahu is a person who ascended. Where did he ascend? Heaven. We have a witness for mankind that never died, Eliyahu. And when he didn't die, what did he do? God lifted him up to heaven in a whirlwind. Now Shlomo caused to ascend the ark when he brings it up, when he brings up the ark to the temple in Yerushalayim. 2 Chronicles 5:2. We've got Solomon causing to ascend the ark into the temple. And what is the temple? Mount Moriah. What happens on Mount Moriah? It's the very place where God told Abraham to make Isaac an olah, an ascent offering. And so, when your life is given in faith, the Christians now, they'll call it the sacrifice of Isaac, but the Jews will call it the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. Because is Isaac ever sacrificed? Only in the mind of Abraham, who then was prepared to receive him back from the dead after, and he was good for it, after he made him an olah. It's just that the portion name is Vayirah. And in Vayirah, God appeared. Why did God appear the second time? To stop Abraham from making his son a burnt offering. But spiritually, there's an ascent going on. Isaac ascends to heaven because this guy that never should have been born is offered back up. And that's when the angel of the Lord says to Abraham, because you did not withhold your son, your only son, the son that I was going to make the nation Israel from, the son that was going to give birth to the king David, the son that was going to give birth to the king of kings, Yeshua, the personal representative of salvation of God on earth. Because you didn't withhold all of this and you knew I was good for it and will do it, I swear, an oath on my life. And this is God swearing. It's an irrevocable oath. I swear that he will inherit the gates of his enemies. Well, if I were an enemy of Israel, I'd have to realize at that point I'm making myself an enemy of God. And if God's going to outlive me, that's a problem, isn't it? So Shlomo causes to ascend the ark when he brings it up to the temple in Yerushalayim. Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 37, verse 13, prophesies that the Lord will cause to ascend Israel from its graves. Ezekiel 37:13. And that's the Valley of Dry Bones. But upon Tyre, God will cause to ascend the deep. It'll be destroyed forever. And that's Ezekiel 26:19. So there are many, many ways in which God causes to ascend his glory. And in Baha'u'llotecha, the priests begin to light the light. And that's going to be when we pull out from the camp. When we pull out from the camp, the ark is going to race toward the promised land. It's going to go on 3 days' journey, leading us. It's going to be on the way to get to the promised land as fast as it can. It's only going to get bogged down because we go on another one of our disobedience tangents. And the Rishonim will die in the wilderness. It'll take 40 years until the next generation can move on. So, Adonai tells Moshe to tell Aaron, Behalotecha et anerot, and you're making go up the lights, focus them to shine brightly. The Levites will be dedicated, Passover will be kept, trumpets will be blown, the camp will move. But because of the kvetching, we don't make our light go up as we move out for God for very long. And the result? We don't make the promised land in 11 days, though it was possible.
Vayedaber Adonai el Moshe lemor, shlach lecha anashim, v'yaturu et eret Kanaan, asher ani noten livnei Yisrael, ish echad, lematei avotav tishlachu, kol nasivahem.
And spoke the Lord to Moses, saying, send for yourself people, and they will spy out the land of Canaan that I am giving to the sons of Israel. Amen, one. Amen, one. For a tribe of his fathers you will send, every leader among them.
You know, when you have a military, you want to use a military. If you're a military guy, you expect to go to war. God raised us up as Adonai Tzevaot, the Lord of hosts. We become the military on earth. But what happened at Sinai? When we came out, what kind of battle did we fight against Pharaoh? Not a shot fired. And the deep swallowed up. God caused the deep to ascend, not just on Tyre. he caused the deep to ascend originally on the forces of Paro. Now, we're going to go out there, one tribe each, and send forth the spies. In other words, send for yourself and don't trust the Lord. 12 spies, shlach lecha, send for yourself. That lecha part, send lecha, send for yourself. Then you do it. All right? Fear of giants can set you back. Learning to trust, too little, too late. 40 days turned to 40 years of wilderness wandering. This is the big hang-up of Israel in the wilderness, because we sent for ourselves, because we didn't trust God to run the military. Waiting for the old to die away? No, though you send scouts for yourself, trust safety to God.
ויקח קורח בן יצחר בן קהת בן לוי ודתן ואבירם בני אליאב ואון בן פלט בני ראובן ויקומו לפני משה.
Now took Korah, son of Izhar, son of Kohath, son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, all sons of Reuben, and they rose up before Moses.
Now, you know, once you get bogged down, the trouble begins. When the trouble begins, you got full-fledged rebellion as soon as you turn around. Somebody is always going to feel disenfranchised. In this case, it was Korach. Why? Well, Moses and Aaron are his cousins from firstborn Amram, and they're leading the people and the priests. Korach's looking around and saying, I'm not leading the people, and I'm not leading the priests. Position of the head of family should go to Korach. He's next in line. He's the eldest of Kahath's second son, Yitzhar. Since Kohath is getting the choice jobs for the first and the thirdborn son, why shouldn't the secondborn son get a choice job too? Why did they leapfrog poor Korach? He's a firstborn to a Kohathite. But Moses appoints Eliezer, firstborn of Kahath's youngest son Uziel, to leapfrog Korach and head the clan instead. Korach complains bitterly, Rav Lechem, too much to you, he tells Moses and Aaron, resenting the fact that he's been deprived of power. The revolt, the Lord's anger, consumes Korach and his followers. Then 12 staffs are collected, but only Aaron's staff buds. Our ties support God's chosen leaders as they serve him. Our lesson, don't rebel like Korach. Accept the bald truth, his name means baldness, the bald truth of your lot. God will do it his way, not our way.
וידבר אדוני אל משה ואל אהרון לאמור זאת חוקת התורה אשר ציווה אדוני לאמור דבר אל בני ישראל ויחו אליך פרה אדומה תמימה אשר אין בך מום אשר לא עלה עליה עול.
And spoke the Lord to Moses and to Aaron, saying, This is the ordinance of the instruction that commanded the Lord, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, that they will take that they will take to you a cow red flawless that isn't on her a blemish that has gone up on her a yoke.
The red heifer purifies. If we follow Chukat HaTorah, the statute of instruction that God commanded, we don't have to understand this. Statutes are simply beyond understanding. If God says to do it a certain way, his ways are higher than our ways. There are times when obedience, just because we trust God, even if we don't understand, That's the obedience that God demands. In this case, it purified sins in ways that we didn't understand, taking a red heifer and using it the way God instructed us to sacrifice it. Well, we whine for water in this portion, and even Moses disobeys. He's supposed to lift up a bronze snake to stop the plague. We're supposed to just look at the bronze plague, bronze snake, and be healed. So the plague stops, but not our wandering. In this portion, 40 years is going to pass by in one verse. And at that time, the old guard will pass away. And the young guard will then be free from the sins of the fathers to advance from the wandering and circles in the wilderness to taking possession of the promised land.
וַיֵּרְא בָּלַק בֶּן צִפּוֹר אֶת כָּל אֲשֶׁר עָשָׂה יִשְׂרָאֵל הָאֲמֹרִי וַיַּגֹר מֹאָב מִפְּנֵי הָעָם מְאֹד כִּי רַב הוּא וַיַּקֹּט מֹאָב מִפְּנֵי בְּנֵי יִשְׂרָאֵל.
And saw Balak, son of Zippor, all that did Israel to the Amorites, and feared Moab before the people, greatly because many was he, and was distressed Moab before the sons of Israel.
The Canaanite stronghold was guarded by Sichon and Og. Sichon was what do we have? The Ammonite and the Moabite. We have Sichon, the son, king of what? Cheshbon. Og was king of Cheshbon. Sichon was son, king of what province? Was he was an Ammonite,
and it's all east of the Jordan, right?
It's all east of the Jordan,
coming up on the east side.
Wasn't it Golan area?
Well,
possibly a little south.
He was the Amorite. He was an Amorite king.
Not sure.
Sichon was an Amorite king. Mm-hmm. Now these were the strong men, and Moses in the previous portion Chukat knocked them both off. Og, according to tradition, was around during the time of the flood and climbed a tree and waited it out. And he had a 13-foot bed that he used to sleep in. And so we're dealing with Israel coming up against the real giants, and the giants that even were holding down this ground that kept Israel from being able to get to the Jordan in order to cross over. But these same guys were being paid tithes from the Moabite king, Balak. Now, Balak means destroyer. And Balak was, when he watched Moses have this huge round of victories over Sichon and Og, over the Amorite king and over the king of Heshbon, then he lost his protectorate. So it would be like the Saudis, what are they going to do? After, you know, the guys that they pay, like the Iraqis or, you know, Iranians or whoever they got deals with, get vanquished. It's like they don't have any power. So this guy said, I'm going to go take the Bilam, who's a sorcerer here, and we're going to curse these guys because we got to fight back with supernatural stuff. So he pays him to curse Israel. And Balaam goes up and looks down from three different vantage points, and each time, instead of running a curse, he comes up with something different. The third round, he says, Ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov mishkenotecha Yisrael. And we still sing that because God takes the words of cursing that were meant for us. And remember, we always say, blessing overcomes with cursing and overcome evil with good. That God gives us a prime example when this guy here being paid the curses can't. The minute he says, I only utter what God says, he winds up uttering words of blessing. It's a Gentile prophet, and we sing it in our liturgy every Friday night. And so Balak pays Balaam to curse us, but he doesn't succeed. And basically, how can anyone curse the one that God blesses? How lovely are your tents, O Jacob? So those destroyers curse us. God will bless us.
וידבר אדוני אל משה לאמור, פנחס בן אלעזר, בן אהרון הכהן, השיב את חמתי מעל בני ישראל, וכאן עוד קינתי בתוכם, ולא חידיתי את בני ישראל בקינתי.
And spoke the Lord to Moses, saying, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron the priest, has turned away my wrath from on the sons of Israel, in his zeal for my zeal in their midst. So not did I end the sons of Israel in my zeal.
Now, this is kind of interesting. Pinchas was actually scorned by his fellow priestly brothers and sisters, because he was considered the son of Puti, and Puti was a dark skin. And Pinchas, his name actually means dark skin. So he was walking around there taking the flak for being born of a foreign-born, because Puti was not... Puti was Egyptian, I think. And he gets an Egyptian name, Pinchas. That's an Egyptian name. It's four letters. So he's gone through all this in his childhood, and then he's up there, and he's one of the guards. And while he's a guard, Israel's dealing with a plague that had broken out. I think it killed 24,700 people or something. And Pinchas sees a Simeonite prince going along with Cozbi, and Cozbi is a Midianite princess whose name means deceiver. And he's taken her right across the tent of meeting where the children of Israel are wailing before God because this plague is knocking us off. And why are we getting the plague? Well, because we're breaking the covenant and we're defiling ourselves with Midianite princesses. And we're cohabiting with the people that are off the limits. And now here's a princess and a prince walking right before the tent of meeting and right before everybody's face while we're wailing out for God to save us from the plague. Well, Pinchas takes the spear, follows him into the tent, and jams it into both of them, pins them to the ground, and they both die. Now that's zeal for the Lord. There was no trial here, but he entered the innermost part of this tent and then plunged the spear into the innermost part of their being. And there's a Hebrew play on words, elakuba, in lakova, in the womb, in the private most part of the tent. So he walks into the intimate place of the house and slays the intimate part of the couple. And they're about to, you know, produce children, you understand? But not holy children, you see? So his zeal for the Lord, now he's in a tent with a dead man. That would eliminate anybody from being high priest. What do you know? Pinchas becomes one of the three in the line of the high priests, from Aaron to Eleazar, who survived after Nadav and Abihu were killed for being zealous. And now Pinchas, who was ruled out not only because he's a darkie and, you know, not a native born, but ruled out because he's in a dead man's tent. He's in a house with a dead man, a couple of corpses. What does this show you? You see, God has rules and there's holiness, but there's something deeper. Love covers a multitude of sins, and when you're zealous in ways that turns away God's wrath because you're zealous with God's holy heart, you know, later on, King David's going to be an adulterer, yet he's going to be a man after God's own heart. There's paradoxes here. The idea that the human relationship and the spirit and what it is really to be in real intimate relationship with all your heart, whatever that means, rational and non-rational, bring it all together. Then you've got the idea that Pinchas can become something that was out of reach for him. It was impossible for him to be high priest because of his birth. And then impossible because he would be in a corpse. He would be touching death. More disobedience, more plagues, but because of his zeal for God, Pinchas, Phinehas, dark skin, becomes high priest. We all count in God's eyes. Yehoshua will carry on for Moshe as we make offerings to the Lord at his appointed times. Nu, when life looks darkness and darkest, stay zealous for God's light.
וידבר משה אל חושי המטות לבני ישראל לאמור זה הדבר אשר ציווה אדוני.
And spoke Moses to the heads of the tribes of the sons of Israel, Israel, saying, This is the thing that commanded the Lord.
All Matot tribes of Israel, will receive land. Some settle in the east and then promise they'll conquer the west. Vows, any vows we make, are very important to keep. Nu, we all belong to God's tribes, and each of us has an inheritance. These are the tribes' poise for their inheritance.
Ele masei bnei Yisrael asher yatzu me'eretz Mitzrayim v'tzivotam v'yad Moshe v'Aharon.
These are the journeys of the sons of Israel who went out from the land of Egypt by their hosts, by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
The journeys of Israel lead us far and wide. If we look at it here, 15th of Nisan, if you want to date, 1313 BCE, or 2448 in the Hebrew calendar, Israel departs Ramses, Beyad Ramah, with our hands held high, on our way to Sukkot, as Egypt was burying their firstborns and God destroyed the Egyptian idols. The journey continues through Etam and then on to the Freedom Valley facing Baal Zephon, the last Egyptian idol. And then we cross the sea on the seventh day, the 21st of Nisan, and we gape as the deep swallows Pharaoh's army, and then journey three more days to Bamidbar, to Marah, and then on to Elim and then Yam Suf. This is the beginning of a journey in exile. There are maybe 42 stops on this journey. And when we finish the end of the 42nd stop, we're standing in this one place here. We're standing in this one place that's overlooking the steps of the Jordan. We're just poised outside. It's like God has brought the new generation 40 years through the wilderness. We've been fed by bread from heaven, spoon-fed by God, as it were. 6 days we gather it and eat it, this manna, what is this? And on the seventh day, we've got a double portion, so we don't work on Shabbat, we just eat, have a good time out there. I mean, we're spoon-fed in a wilderness wandering where it's a honeymoon experience because we grow up, our clothes don't wear out, we're fed. You don't have to work for a living, you just live out in the wilderness with God. And when the old guard dies off, we're poised outside the promised land, looking in to inherit. And God is taking us right through the world of sensory experience, in the real world, taking us to the very Jordan that we're going to cross over to enter, walk into the promised land. We're experiencing on earth the blessings of what it is to be led by God, with the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day, with the manifest God going before us, with enemies having no chance against us, and you don't even have to work for a living. It's like paradise, right there in a hot, steamy desert. Bamidbar.
Chazak, chazak, v'nit chazek.
Be strong, and may we be strengthened.
So ends Bamidbar, we then begin Dvarim. These are the words. Now Moses is going to review the past wandering and the victories. And he's going to be talking to the new guard, the new generation. He's going to be telling us over the last 6 weeks of his life. That's what all this book is going to last for, 6 weeks of Moses' life, an entire book. He's going to be charging us up to go in and take the inheritance that the old guard fell short.
אלה הדברים אשר דיבר משה אל כל ישראל בעבר הירדן במדבר ברבה מוסוף בן פרן ובן תופל ולבן בחצרות ודי זהב.
These are the words that spoke Moses to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness on the plain opposite Suf between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Izahab.
Moses reviews past wandering victories, and then encourages us with final Devarim words to enter God's promise. He tells us Yehoshua will lead as God fights for us. When Moses is talking, he reminds us that God told him, Rav Lechem, enough for you, that you're circling Horeb. Leave, go into the wilderness, it's time. Rav Lechem, now it's time to enter the promised land. These are the same words, Rav Lechem. When Korach faced Moses earlier, he said, Rav Lecha, too much for you, did you arrogate all this authority to yourself? And so we see the words of rebellion have been redeemed by God. Now, enough for us that we go circle around the mountain and wait for the old guard to die. Now, enough for you, Moses, that you want to enter the promised land, even though you're going to seek it with tears. What you're to do now is to review the past wandering and victories and turn it over to Joshua, for Yehoshua will lead as the new guard enters the land of promise.
Let Hanan el Adonai ba'et ha'hi lemor Adonai Elohim ata hachilota lerot et avdecha et kolelecha v'et yedecha hachazaka.
And I pleaded to the Lord in the season that one, saying, Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your hand the strong one.
Moses begs with tears to be able to enter the land of promise. Here's a man who 40 years in his life, he saw Egypt oppressing. He went to bat for Israel and got killed. No, almost killed. Did kill one of Egypt's oppressors. And then he had to banish himself for 40 more years in the wilderness when he was with the Midianites. Then when he's 80, he goes out to the promise. He goes back. God says, go back, and now you're ready to lead Israel into the promised land. Moses didn't care about it by then. He was 40, plus 40. He's 80 years old, a shepherd in the wilderness. Now God says, it's my time. What you wanted to do when you were a hothead at the age of 40, you can do now at the age of 80. Moses is saying, I've mellowed out. I don't want to do that anymore. 2 million people out there in the wilderness, forget it. I've got to go crazy. He says, you're the most humble person on earth, and it's time for you to go lead my people in. Well, now Moses is 120. The old guard has died. And God says, time for you to die. And Moses says, wait. Now I finally got the promised land with everybody. I want to go in. No, you can't. You rebelled. He says, well, I pleaded with tears to go in. Va'et Hanan, I begged with tears. God says, no, you can't do it. Rav Lechem, enough. Enough for you. Don't bug me with this anymore. And so as Korach told Moshe, Rav Lecha, now God tells Moshe, enough of this. Don't bother me with this request to go into the promised land. This guy that wanted to go when he was 40, that didn't want to go when he was 80, that wanted to go when he was 120 and can't. And he tells Israel, look, I pleaded with tears and God wouldn't let me in to cross over with you. I can only look from afar. So hear, O Israel, God's commands. And God listens when you plead, but take it from me. Be obedient, lest you get shut out and die in exile.
V'haya ekev tishmeun et ha-mishvatim ha-ele hushmachtem v'asitem otam v'shamach Adonai Elohecha lecha את הברית ואת החסד אשר נשבע באבותיך.
And it was as a result of your listening to the ordinances, these ones, and your keeping and your doing them, then will keep the Lord your God for you the covenant and the kindness that he swore to your fathers.
Now looking backward, by Elchanan, and I pleaded, is always read the week of the ninth of Av. And the week of the ninth of Av is the destruction of the temple and the destruction of the second temple. It's when God removes his presence from the midst of the camp. So Moshe experiences it first in Elchanan. He pleads with tears. And though he's the humblest person on earth, and he repents and pleads with tears, God doesn't give him what he's asking. He says, no, Yehoshua will have to do this. The real Yehoshua is looking forward to the real Messiah, whose name is
Yeshua.
And what will Yeshua do? He'll walk into the Promised Land, he'll go up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and when he's there, Elijah will show up, the guy that was Behalotecha, taken up in a whirlwind. And Moshe will touch down with a glorified body. Eliyahu will say, this is the Messiah. I'm sure Moshe must have had to ask, who are you? And he would say, I'm the prophet that introduces the Messiah. And Moshe would then say, this is the prophet that was to come after me, which I know about in Shoftim, which we'll get to in a second. The prophet. The judges. And so Moshe winds up touching down in the Promised Land with a glorified body after he dies, after he cries, and after Messiah comes to earth and establishes a foothold in the Promised Land. So what happens? There's life after death. And what happens? God answers prayers even after we've died. Why is that? Because he's a God of grace who answers prayer. So in Achab, we're told, as a result of obeying, you'll receive nature's blessing. Remember past rebellion and keep God's law. If, as a result of super obedience, you as a nation walk in super obedience, then super wonderful things will happen. You'll see creation being bent around to serve God's purposes. As a result of obedience, you will reap super blessings.
Re'eh, Anochi, Noten Libnechem Hayom, Racha Uklala.
See, I give before you this day a blessing and a curse.
Re'eh, see that you may choose blessing and long life. Or, if you're on the other side, disobedience, you have a dead end ahead of you. D for destruction, E for exile, A for assimilation, and D, death of a nation, corporate death. Now, is this what you want, Israel? So the warning is put in place. See, you have a choice. So choose, but choose the path of blessing.
שופטים ושוטרים תיתן לך בכל שעריך אשר אדוני אלוהיך נותן לך לשפטיך ושפטו את העם משפט צדק.
Judges and officers, you will give yourself in all your gates that the Lord your God is giving to you according to your tribes, and they will judge the people a judgment righteous.
Appoint Shoftim judges to set up a just society with cities of refuge, and love your neighbor as yourself. Nu, judge fairly, God's kingdom rules.
כי תצא למלחמה על אויביך נתנו אדוני אלוהיך בידך ושבית שביו בידך ושבית שביו.
When you go out to war against your enemies and gives him, oh Lord, your God, into your hand, and you capture his captives.
I remember, since we made the big mistake in Shalach Lecha, you know, send for yourself spies to reconnoitre the land so you can figure out military strategy, then we put ourselves in a position where we want to be co-partners so much with God. We walk a little less with faith and a little more with doing it the hard way. And doing it the hard way now means being the army. And being the army means we got to fight the Canaanites and knock them out rather than let them and their evil vanquish themselves and let God do it through complete miracle. So instead of radical faith, now we're taking the kind of faith that requires being the military. So he gives us instruction, ki teitzei, when you go out. And remember, this is information that's being communicated to the new guard who's going in there with Joshua. This is Moses writing this legislation to the new guard. He says, well, when you go out to war where God sends you, then act the way God tells you and keep your social duties and protect the assembly. But remember, when you go out, stay connected to God.
והיה כי תבוא אל הארץ אשר אדוני אלוהיך נותן לך נחלה לרשתה וישבת בה לקחת מראשית כל פרי.
And it shall be when you enter into the land that the Lord your God is giving to you as an inheritance, and you shall possess her, and you dwell in her.
All right, let's see the thread here that's going on. Remember, two paths lie ahead. One leads to blessing and long life. The other leads to a dead end: destruction, exile, assimilation, death as a nation. Now Moshe is going to urge us, appoint Shoftim, judges. The judges should be zealous, just like the priests, zealous in the pursuit of justice with passion and to ensure a just society. The priests are told also to instruct the nation and live off tithes. The prophets are told to listen to God's voice and balance out the institutions of society. Moses then goes on to say, Ki teitzei, when you go out to war, offer peace first, maintain integrity in all relationships, especially with society's vulnerable, the laborers, the newlyweds, and the hired hands. They don't go to war. But the Amalek, show no evil, blot them out. So Ki teitzei means, when it comes to evil, no compassion, get it all out. That means no accommodation to other gods, no accommodation to foreign gods, no intermarrying if going to bring foreign gods into the household. The Canaanites, you got to watch out for all of that. So we're going into Canaanite territory, no intermarriage, no embracing of foreign gods. Kitavo, when you enter into the land, offer the land first fruits to God, spell out blessing and cursings on Mount Gerizim and Ebal. He's telling Joshua how to act once he's in the land. He's showing Joshua how to enter the land, take the land, consecrate the land. And then he says, that'll remind you to keep God's covenant once you set up on Gerizim and Ebal, the covenant, and you write it on stone. When you enter then into God's promises, remember he provides, and remember to give him the first fruits, from the victors and spoils of war to the fruits of the land.
Atem nitzavim hayom kulechem lifnei Adonai Elohechem rashechem shivtechem zikneichem v'shotrechem kol ish Yisrael.
You are standing this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your heads, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, every man of Israel.
Kitavo ended with the curses. First it was the blessings and then the curses that were part of the covenant. Now, when we heard these curses, it's something like 198 verses or something worth. I mean, it's a crazy amount. Or 99. I forgot now. There's a long amount of cursings. It goes to like verse 68 in Deuteronomy. And when we're told these curses, we're shaking. So then, when he gathers us as an assembly, he says, "Atem nitzavim, you still all are standing. Remember, you made it through the wilderness. You made it through the golden calf. You made it through the dying of the old guard. And you're still standing here on the verge of entering the promised land. Remember, remember, remember that I'm a God of mercy who cuts you slack, who allows blessings to overcome cursings, who will get you through to the very end, no matter how bleak it looks." And it almost always looks bleak. Right now, Israel is just a few million people surrounded by 284 million that really want to extinguish the nation. Unfriendly powers surrounding Israel. We're always outnumbered, and it always looks bleak. Right now, you may say, "Oh, well, they've got the military superiority." If 284 million people want it, military superiority doesn't matter a whole lot, really. The history of war is that the people that have the will to win are the guys that win, not the guys that have superior machinery. In Atem Nitzavim, we're told, you're standing here, all of you now, and the generations to come, even your women and your children and your water drawers, the whole nation is here. Follow the Torah in your heart. Though you'll be scattered, God will regather you. Choose life. Cleave to God. Remember, you're standing before God. There's the promised land. Choose life.
וילך משה וידבר את הדברים האלה אל כל ישראל ויאמר עליהם בן 120 שנה אנוכי היום לא אוכל עוד לצאת ולעבור ואדוני אמר אליי לא תעבור את הירדן הזה.
And went Moses and spoke the words these to all Israel. And he said to them, a son 120 years am I today, not am I able still to go out and to come in. And the Lord said to me, not will you cross over the Jordan, this one.
So, remember the Hanan, Moses pleaded with tears. Now Moses telling the nation, you know, I'm not allowed to do this. And it's on 120th birthday. This is farewell day. Moses goes out to say farewell to every tribe. He goes out personally. Here's his birthday. Goodbye, goodbye. I'm going to go up to the Mount Nebo there and die. And so he goes out and Joshua comes in. He's going to anoint Joshua to take his place, pass the mantle. He's going to tell everybody goodbye, and then he's going to go up to Mount Nebo. Just before he does that, God says, you know, it's time to teach him Ha'azinu. And so he writes down Ta'azinu, and he leaves this as a farewell song. He says, put this song as a song in the hearts of the children. Put this song in the hearts of the children so that they'll remember, even if they're not reading Torah, what happened to them. They will remember if they get scattered to the four corners of the earth and they don't think God's around and they're few in number and being chased by their enemies. They'll remember that the covenant called for all this to happen because it's all going to be in the song. And the song is going to be put as a song in the hearts of the children so that even if the parents and the children don't have Torah, they'll have grown up singing this song. And the song will make sense to them, to us, because what it predicts will be true.
Hazu Hashamayim Badabera Letishma Haaretz Imrefi. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and may hear the earth the sayings of my mouth.
Well, you know, we have this as a song in our heart, don't we? So I think we can sing it, right? And I see everybody saying no. But don't worry, because I'm going to pull out a tikkun And you can just follow along while we're singing it together, right? It's too long, she said. I don't care if it's 55 minutes in and it takes us 12 minutes. That's fine with me. Let's take a vote. Who wants to sing Hazinu? Hazinu Hashemayim Baradera Betishma Haaretz Imrefi Yarov Kamatar Lichi Tisal Ketal Imrati Kisirim Ale Deshe V'chirbivim Aleese Ki Shem Adonai Ekra Arugod Eloheinu Hatsur Tamim Paolo Ki Kol Drachav Mishpat El Emunah Ve'en Adel Tzadik Vayashar Hu Shichet Lo Lo Panam Mumam Dor Ikesh Utal Tov Al Adonai Tigmelu Zot Am Naval Ve'lo Chacham Alohu Avicha Kanecha U'asacha Vaikonen Necha Zechor Yamot Olam Binu Shnot Dor Vador She'al Avicha Yagedecha Zekenecha Ve'yom Rulach Ve'anchel Elyon Goyim Ve'afrido B'nei Adam Yatsev Gvulot Tamim Lemishpar B'nei Yisrael Ki Chelek Adonai Amo Yaakov Elo Nachlato Yimsaehu Be'eretz Midbar U'tohu Yilel Yeshimon Yisov Ventu Yivon Nehu Yisrenu Kishon Eno Kenesher Yair Kino Al Gozalav Yirachev Yirfos Yenafav Yikachehu Yisaehu Alevrato Aronai Badad Yanchenu Ve'en Imo El Nechar Yarkivehu Al Pamote Aretz Vayochal Tnuvot Sadai Yanikehu Dvash Misela Veshemen Mechal Misur Chemat Baka Vachalev Tzom Im Chelev Karim Reilim Bnei Vashan Veatudim Im Chelev Kiryot Chita Vedam Enav Tishtechamer. And we can stop there for a moment. That was the beginning. And then the end is we grew fat and kicked, and then it was bad news, right? Mm-hmm. But the good part is that even after all that, what does the Lord do?
Takes us back in.
He takes us back. He says, even though you whore after foreign gods, and you commit idolatry, spiritual harlotry, I got a covenant, and I got a purpose. And in the end, I've raised you, and I brought you along, and I care for you as a mother, beyond as a mother cares for a nursing mom. I can't forget you, and I won't. And he has his purpose. He's gonna make good on that purpose. And when he does, Chazinu ends, all the nations will glorify him. Not just Israel, but all the nations, with Israel in the midst of all the nations. Now, it's got a bloody ending. The reason the nations are going to glorify God is because he's going to hammer them after they hammer Israel too hard, right? And most people know, or believe, that are the people of the book, that there'll come a time when at least the majority of nations, if not corporate, collective whole of the nations, attack Israel. And we're living in times that could build up to that. It could happen, we don't know when. But for it to happen, obviously Israel would have to become a nation. So Zechariah was talking about things thousands of years ago that we're witnessing today because it is a nation again. And it couldn't happen when Israel isn't a nation, because it's nations that attack a nation. It didn't happen in the Holocaust because Israel wasn't a nation, and so you gather together. Mm-hmm. Now we get a second chance. And of course, you know what we'll do with a second chance, right? It's not fated that it has to be that way. But what price in love do we have to pay to overcome a multitude of sins? And that's within our reach. What do we do? We're told, pray for the peace of Yerushalayim. Now, people walk around and they say, why should we pray for the peace of Yerushalayim if there's going to be war? And if there's no peace until Messiah, then why bother to pray for the peace of Yerushalayim?
He shall prosper.
He will prosper that does. And God's prosperity is beyond human understanding. You can't be sure what that means, except you'll have peace of some sort in your heart, and you'll have peace in your life. You'll have wholeness and integrity. Because you're praying for that time when wholeness and integrity is common to the human race. And it stays out of whack until that time. Until we have integrity, things are always out of focus. We can't approach God. He's not in our midst. The nations are at war. Everybody's pulled in the wrong way. And that causes problems for everybody because it's all out of whack. We try to keep Shabbat and we got to work. There's a million things that happen because it's all out of whack. It's not the way it was designed to be. But Hazinu gives us hope. It says that in the end of days, the nations and Israel will sing praises to his name. In that last verse, we can sing together. It's verse 43. Haninu goyim amo, kidam avadad yikon, v'nakam yashiv l'tzarav, v'chiber admato amo. Rejoice, O nations, over his people, for the blood of his servants he'll avenge, and vengeance he returns upon his foes, and he'll atone for the land of his people. He'll atone for the land of his people, a defiled land covered over by the blood of the innocent, but in the end, it'll be covered by the blood of the guilty. And when it's covered by the blood of the guilty, God will establish righteous rule. And righteousness will reign over heaven, over earth. And the land, the defiled land, will be cleansed. We look forward then to that day when God, who told Moses, O heavens and earth, we must keep the covenant. God who told Moses, we turn away, God will choose others to make us jealous. But after the song, Moshe climbs Mount Nebo to see the promised land before dying. And he says, give ear. Give ear to God's song. Keep his covenant.
V'zot habracha asher perach Moshe ish Elohim et b'nei Yisrael livnei moto.
And this is the blessing that blessed Moses, man of God, the sons of Israel, before his death.
Both the first and the last books of Torah end with a dying man blessing the sons of Israel. In Sefer Bereshit, it's Yaakov blessing his sons. And now in Sefer Devarim, it's Moshe blessing the tribes that descended from those sons. V'zot habracha, and this is the blessing of the covenant, which you inherit. Put your confidence in God. Enter into the inheritance that he has for you and for your children. Walk with God, and his purposes will prevail in your life and in the lives of those around you. This is the blessing. V'zot habracha.
Chazak, chazak, v'nitchazek. Be strong, and may we be strengthened.